That was also one of the things that I learned. I can be the hero of my story, or I can be the victim, and I choose to be the hero of my story. And I was ready to celebrate every single victory. That's another thing that it's very important. We have to celebrate even their small victories.
Well, hello, and we're joining by another fun edition of Do Hard Stuff. And I've got the beautiful Katia Morales from Costa Rica today. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me today. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, in full disclosure, she is the bride. I'll say bride. It's just wife, but I call mine my bride too. She is the bride of our country manager, Fernando, who right now is actually in Zimbabwe getting to see a little bit what we do. But Katia has an amazing story. I got to meet her for the first time just a few weeks ago and got to hear your story. And it is worth the Do Hard Stuff program. So, Katia, tell us a little bit about your background, and then I want you to go right into the news you got.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me here. It means a lot because I've been through a journey, and it's been a journey of discovery, really. I was born here in Costa Rica. My hometown is Alajuela. It's very near the airport. That's where my family is from. And I grew up in a middle-class family that was, it was a lot of work and a lot of things to do, all the time, right? My dad is, someone who came from poverty, and he managed himself up and he managed to study. He is from the south area of Costa Rica. It's Golfito.
It's very coast. South.
Yeah. And it's a very poor area. So he managed himself just to get out of there and go to study to San Jose and just started his life again there. So, I admire him a lot for that. And my mom is from also a very humble family. She also studied, in a very difficult way, but she managed to do that. And she also managed to give money to her, brothers and sisters so they could also study and do something with their lives. So it's I come from a family who's always striving for something and who's humble, but we try to do our best all the time. I have a brother and a sister. I'm the middle kid, and that is also fun. I love them. And I decided that I was gonna get into human resources, into coaching and work into that area. Then I moved, I married and I moved with Fernando to Colombia. And there is where I got the diagnosis of cancer, breast cancer in stage 4.
So hey, what year was that?
It was, on 2021.
Wow. So that just was, right after COVID.
Yes.
Kind of post COVID. and how did, what were you going in for a regular checkup? Did you know there was something wrong? What made you go to get checked?
Well, for me, it was a miracle because I was not really checking myself too much, especially because I wasn't 40 yet. Yeah. So I didn't know a lot about mammographies or those type of things because I wasn't 40. So I wasn't really interested in the topic at the moment. And one day during COVID, I decided that I was going to get myself into a great shape. So I was doing, I was working out at home 3 times a week and I was doing a lot and I was doing really good. And one day after lifting some weights, my chest was hurting a lot. Like, I was like, wow, this is really hurting. And then I checked myself and I found just a little bump. And I was like, well, this wasn't there before. So I decided just to call my gynecologist at the time there, and she checked me out and she was like, I think it's nothing really. I think that's nothing. But you know what? Just because it is very important to check yourself, I'm going to send you to do an ultrasound. Then I went to the ultrasound and there was a little bump. I came back and she was like, well, It might be normal. You don't have any kids. It might be just part of your body. I mean, it's something that happens sometimes. But you know what? Just to be sure, she was very incisive, and she was like, "Just to be sure, I would love for you to go and see a specialist." The specialist told me, "Have you checked your below your arm?" And I was like, "No, why?" Did they check on the ultrasound? Do you know if they check here? And I was like, no. And the guy checked here, and I have a big round
Wow.
thing right here. And he got really scared. And me too. And he was like, okay, let's not get scared. Maybe there's just something there, but let's move on. Let's go and do more tests. And he was a nice guy, but I had to travel to Costa Rica. We had a trip scheduled for Mother's Day here to Costa Rica to spend Mother's Day with our family.
So that's like August of 21, right?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
okay. Okay.
And they just opened the airport in Bogota because the airport was closed, and they just opened the airport, and I was like, let's just go and see the family. And we just came here, and the doctor sent me a WhatsApp message telling me that I had cancer.
Wow. After you had arrived.
Yes.
So I gotta ask you this. So you're 38 at that time, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you were 38. Way too young for breast cancer, way too young for anything. And you've arrived back home. You're in, I assume, out of way, yeah, San Jose
Yes.
area, right? And you get this news. What's your first thought?
I just had to sit down and I just said, no, this is impossible. This is not happening to me. It's not happening. And I decided I was not going to tell anybody. I just told Fernando and my sister, my big sister. And I said, I'm not going to tell anybody else. I cried a lot that day because I knew that there was something wrong, but I was in total denial. This isn't happening to me. It's not happening. So I
Wow.
came back to Colombia and I was like, I'm not gonna give that new those news to my mom on Mother's Day. So I just decided just to go back to Colombia, and then I talked to the doctor again. I got to tell him, you know what? It wasn't the best idea just to give me a WhatsApp notice, okay? And he was like, well, I'm sorry, but I really wanted you to know as soon as possible so you could come back. And at the end I got another test, and he was like, yeah, and it's growing fast, and we gotta move fast.
Wow.
So it was
So
really good.
you're this is still August, I guess, of
It was, yeah,
2021.
the end of
Yeah,
August. Yeah.
and a whirlwind. You got a lot of stuff going on. It's your mind is clouded. I mean, I can remember just recently I had the Cologuard, the test where they test for your colon, and it came back and said, it's positive. You need to have a colonoscopy. And it was about a week there, 10 days before I got the colonoscopy. And it's amazing how your mind can start going in all different kinds of directions. And for me, even though there was only like a 4% chance or less than that I would have some kind of colon cancer, your mind starts thinking, oh, what about my kids? Oh, I got to plan a funeral. Oh, I'm gonna die. Oh, what's my mom gonna think? Oh, and the negative emotions in your mind can start to just go crazy, right? And I'm guessing for you being told you have cancer, I can only imagine that what goes through your mind. It's got to be just the worst.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I never thought I was gonna die, to be honest.
Ever.
Like,
Yeah.
yeah, in my mind, that wasn't an option. I had no option. My option was to survive, and that was
Yeah.
it. And I remember Fernando and I, we got out of that appointment, doctor's appointment, and he was just pale, and he was like in shock, like, no way this is happening. And I said, you know what? We're gonna get through this. We're gonna make this happen. And yeah, sometimes I thought about death because it's a thought that you have,
Yeah,
and right.
cancer or no
So
cancer, you have that. Yeah.
yeah, cancer or no
Yeah.
cancer, you think about it. And I remember that I was sometimes in my mind, I was just going around in scenarios, right? Like, what if I don't want to leave my family? And my fear was to leave Fernando and my family. That was, and my friends. That was my
Yeah.
fear,
No, I
that
got you.
they
Yeah.
were gonna suffer. It wasn't about how I was gonna handle that because I know where I go, but they are the ones who stay behind, right? So that was my fear, really. But then with any time that those thoughts came into my mind, I was like, is this really useful? This isn't helping me at all. I have to
But
move to that.
the thing is, I know from talking to you, you immediately went into a positive action to take steps to not only have the surgery. When did you have the surgery? Roughly when?
Oh, it was like 8 months after, probably a little bit more, because first I had to get into chemo right away.
Okay.
They needed to make sure that the tumor wasn't growing enough.
Stop the growth. Yeah.
Yeah, they needed to stop the growth. So I went into chemo first, then radiation, and then the surgery. So it was a long road. It was a long journey.
So that was a 8 or 9 month journey. So now you're all the way into April or May of 22, I guess, by this time, right? And you did the treatment in Costa Rica, is that right? Or in Colombia? In
In
Colombia,
Colombia,
correct?
yeah,
Yeah,
in
right.
Colombia.
And so when did you find out that it was gone out? When did you first learn that, hey, Katya, we got it?
You know what? I think I'm too positive sometimes. So, yeah. And when I'm not, I always have a support system around me. And Fernando is my biggest support system all the time. But I always knew I was beating it. Like I was in the process of beating it. Like there was not an
Yeah, you weren't
exciting
gonna
time.
lose.
I was not gonna lose. Yeah, I had no option. And I remember this time where I was about to give up. I think I was in my sixth chemo, and those chemos are just terrible. They call them the red ones. The red ones are the ones that they just destroy you. And I was just so tired. I lost a lot of weight. My body just felt tired. Emotionally, I was drained. I was just tired. And I remember that I told Fernando, I'm done. Whatever happens, I'm done. I cannot go through this anymore. And this is why I say that it's so important to have a support system, because I remember that day I went out to do some shopping with my parents, because my family, my parents, my brother and sister, and my aunts, they were traveling. One of my aunts were traveling just to take care of me and stay with us. And also, I have a great friends from El Salvador who were living in Colombia there, and they were always there for me. And I remember that I went to do some shopping and just distract my mind, and I came back, and Fernando had these balloons on the wall with numbers. They were balloons of numbers, and it was a total of 8 chemos. From 1 to 6, it was just all blown up. And he said, "This is what you're missing. You're just missing this. So this is the road that you have. So just keep on going." So that was the reason why I kept going, because I was ready just to give up that day. And then when I had my next chemo, I came home and I just blew out the balloon, and I was like, I'm ready. I'm just gonna keep on going. And I was ready to celebrate every single victory. That's another thing that it's very important. We have to celebrate even their small victories. My work team at the time, IQ Think, which is an amazing marketing company that I love, they built this huge banner with different mountains, and they designed it, they built it, and they posted on my wall. So every time I was going to one chemo, I had to move this little bus with my face, Fernando's face, and my two dogs to the mountain.
That's
So it was just part of a game. It was just part of celebration,
Yeah.
and it was part of being happy, even though I was going through that.
Well, years ago, a friend of mine who is a retired now radiologist, he used to tell me that they could predict within about 95% if a cancer patient was going to live or die by their attitude. And he said, when they came in and they're like, hey, let's get started. What do I need to do? I'm ready. Let's knock it out. That he says we could almost predict exactly what was going to happen. So, I picked up on two things that I think are important when you're really got you when you're facing anything, any kind of an obstacle, right? Whether it's just a hardship in life, whether it's a family issue, or whether it's something like cancer or some other disease. First of all, it's your attitude, how positive you are. And then secondly, it's your support system, who's around you, your family, your spouse, your children, those that are gonna encourage you and lift you up, because that's what Fernando did and your work teammates and your family did, was really encouraged. So those two things, when we have these hard stuff comes along, whatever it is, those two are really important, it sounds like.
You need a support system all the time for everything, even if it's about losing your job. I mean, and it's okay. To this day, I have to remember myself of a lot of things that I learned through that process. Because sometimes you want to feel like the victim. You want to be the victim because it's easier. So it's like, oh, poor me. Oh, no, I can't do this. And this happened to me, or this person talk to me in a bit, really bad way, or this other person did this or that. Yeah, you can be the victim, or you can be the hero too. And that was also one of the things that I learned. I can be the hero of my story, or I can be the victim, and I choose to be the hero of my story because this
Well,
is out of control for anything else. So.
but I gotta fast forward a little bit, because when you and I first met just a few weeks ago, I was having lunch and you and Fernando came in, and I had met Fernando but not him, and we got to talking, you told me your story, and but you told me the story of about what you were doing now. We don't have to get into the details, but it has to do with taking out part of your systems that you needed, your lymph nodes, right? Where they took them out, is that right? Out of the lymphatic system, out of the left side, is that right? Yeah. They took out the left side of your lymphatic system, and you are now heading up the Costa Rica facilities, or Costa Rica operations, where you're training women who to keep those, how do you best explain that, to flush out your lymphatic system? Explain that a little bit.
We need to have a clean lymphatic system. Because there's not going to be a way for bad cells to develop if you clean your lymphatic system every day. Also, it's very important to have a pH in your body that it's in a good level, that it's alkaline. If your body is acidic, then it's going to be a good way for bad cells to reproduce, basically, right? So what I do is that I have healthy eating. I eat organic food all the time. And then I take supplements like
Yep.
graviola, which
Vitamins and all
is,
kinds of, different supplements. Yeah.
And then I do exercise. So I do Dragon Boating, which is an amazing, amazing, amazing thing that I discovered after I
So you
survived.
understand what she said? She said, so I'll give her the Texas twang. She did dragon boating. And it's like this massive outrigger boat. Now, it doesn't have an outrigger on it, but a big long boat. I believe you said there's 20 in the boat at one time, as many as 20. Is that right?
20 or 10. It could be
Okay,
all
10 or
20
20
or
people. Yep. And it's a rowing system that is one of the most effective way to clear out your lymphatic system, correct?
Yes, and Dr. Mackenzie from Canada is the one who discovered that 30 years ago. He
Wow.
discovered that if that his patients were having a reduction on the tumors and having a better response to the treatments because of exercise. So we have to exercise, we have to move. And the other thing is that I have a trampoline. So what I do is that I jump into the trampoline 10 minutes every morning. That's it. Just 10 minutes. It's gonna flush your lymphatic system. You're gonna feel better. You're gonna have energy. And it's just amazing. I love my trampoline.
Wow, so I'm ordering me a trampoline right now. I'm just gonna get me one as quickly as I can. But I wanted to kind of come to the point that here's the deal. I think you said something really important. You're heading up this dragon boating team in Costa Rica, bringing you've got a boat that you've imported, and you're doing this with women who have been through cancer, who need to cleanse out their lymphatic systems. My really the point that I want everybody to hear really clearly is you took a situation that was a major obstacle or was a major detriment, or cancer is a word nobody wants to hear, and you have now turned that into what I would call a ministry because you are helping other women who may be struggling, maybe with just the cancer diagnosis, but also with ways in which to treat it, lymphatic system. But you and I even went to talk a lot about what we're doing with the 51, our giving back of 51%, and you said there's not enough opportunities or facilities for women in Costa Rica, as an example, to be able to get a sonogram to be able to check for breast cancer, and that's something that could be made quite mobile. And I said, hey, we're going to do this. And we're going to do that. We're going to start developing some programs to go around to some of the areas to do some of this early detection. But my point is, you took a bad situation and turned it into not just a good situation, but a ministry helpful situation where now you're going to be doing the dragon boating, looking at developing mobile centers to help early detection so people can live longer and live healthier, and then how to treat them. And you said the right words. Every time something bad happens to us, Katya, every time, we get two choices. We can be the victim or we can be the hero, right? That's really the only two options. We can either be a victim or we can be a hero. And you chose hero. And you said, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to beat it. And now you're actually gone a step further where this is a ministry for you. Did I say that correct?
Yes, and it's interesting because I've been looking for my purpose my whole life. And sometimes we all spend so much time and energy in looking for our purpose, and our purpose is always going to find us. So really, we just have to live our life in the best way that we can, doing the best that we can at every single moment, because yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but if we do our best today, then we're going to be okay tomorrow. I mean, it's just about that. It's about not forgetting that we're not here alone. We're here to be together and to strive together.
Well, you've got an amazing story because you took lemons and turned it into lemonade, or as we say, a victim and turned it into a hero. And now you're not only are you inspiration for others who are going through difficult times, especially with cancer, especially women with breast cancer, but you've also turned that into saying, hey, wait a minute, what can we do in Costa Rica for early detection that we can make a difference? So I think, if I guess if I was titling what we're talking about here, it's a cancer. Choose to be a victim, not choose to be a hero, not a victim. And I think that's what you've done, and that should be an inspiration for so many others to not lose hope, and also to seek out that support system of family, work, friends, obviously the church. Those in your that are in your ministry or in your organization that can give you that support. So, Katya, this is really amazing to me because you've truly an inspiration to me, and I can only imagine to those around you that have gone through these circumstances.
Thank you. I just want other women to have a second chance, just like I had mine. And I know we all have a different journey, but if we can create awareness, if we can create early detection, things are going to be different. And so many people is going to have a second chance. And I just want others to have that second chance. And that's the goal right now. I'm not even sure how that's going to go, but we got to give it our best.
Well, we're going to do it, and we're going to take global impact. Our mission at ZymWorks is transforming lives while making a global impact. So we're transforming the lives in a lot of different ways with jobs and whatnot. But we want to do things with what you're doing. So hey, we got to get going. You're going to have to get planning. We got to get going. We got to get this in process. So we're
I'm
really excited.
excited.
Well, Katya, any final words you'd like to have there?
I think I want everybody to remember that you're never alone, even when you feel you're walking on the dark.
Yeah.
Just remember that. I know sometimes it feels very heavy, but we're never alone.
Yeah, agreed. Not only is our friends and family and those around us, we got God who's always looking after us and always has a plan. I always say he can turn any obstacle into an opportunity, and that's what he did here today. So Katya, thank you. We're gonna we may not let Fernando leave Zimbabwe. You may just have to go join him over there. So
Sounds fun. I have big plans for awareness in Zimbabwe,
I
hopefully.
love it. I love it. Well, everyone, thanks for joining in. We love these stories about people overcoming obstacles and really doing the hard stuff. And Katya, we're praying for you. We know that you're gonna do great things as you continue forward. So thank you for listening to another edition of Do Hard Stuff. Thank you.